Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy.
Taz and the Moose with you right here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio, as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Taz out sick off this morning. You've got Bogus in the house with me. Taz, we go right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call to get involved. As continued reaction to the NBA draft lottery last night, Andrew, as we've gone through, you know, the disappointment for the Knicks and the Suns and the Cleveland Cavaliers, the three worst teams in the NBA in this past NBA regular season, as they don't end up with the number one overall draft choice. And then you get to the Herculean rise of the Pelicans and also the Grizzlies, who are going to get a nice replacement for Mike Conley when you look at John Morant as well with that second overall draft choice. And now for the New Orleans Pelicans, what the hell do you do? because right, even after the draft lottery process where the Pelicans win the lottery, where Zion Williamson will be the apple of their eye, those around Anthony Davis were telling those that cover the NBA and the insiders that his stance has not changed. He wants out of New Orleans.
It's been very cute of David Griffin, their new GM, to talk this up and say, I'm in the business of keeping Anthony Davis, not trading Anthony Davis, and mentions Anthony Davis as much as possible. But, I mean, it was ugly. Let's not forget how ugly it was and how awkward it was when they couldn't trade him and didn't trade him, and he sat on the bench and he didn't sit on the bench, and they asked the NBA
forcing him to play him.
Right, and the NBA, you know, kind of relenting off of that and giving them permission to not play him. And clearly it's not fixed. It's not fixable, and he wants out. And, you know, you don't want to ever have to get rid of a player like that, as good as he is. This is over. So they can say whatever they want, but they've got to figure out, whether it's before the draft, after the draft, they've got to find the right deal for him, make that move. I mean, the Celtics, who have always made the most sense in terms of assets, have three first-round picks this year. They've got young players, an angry Terry Rozier. I mean, there's a trade out there for them to make, but they just got to make the right one, because you can't ever get, you know, one for one back on Anthony Davis, but you got to come as close as possible.
No, right. Now, his stance has not changed with the acquisition of Zion. There was some that was speculating, saying, oh, what? Okay, so now you trade the assets at Zion Williamson to get a veteran player down in New Orleans and another star player to team up with Anthony Davis, and you maybe convince him in that way, which I think is nonsense. I would never do that if I was New Orleans, but there were some that speculated you do that. You look at the asset that Zion Williamson is, how marketable he is, the phenom that he is, and you bring in a already established NBA star that he can win right away with Anthony Davis to convince him to stay. I would never do it. Would you?
I think you have to actually listen to teams. I think you have to see if you can. I'm not saying you should trade him, but I think you should not also put your fingers in your ear and go, la, 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 I can't hear you when you call about your Zion trade offer. Because people are so in love with him, there is a trade out there that would be worth your while. So I think you have to be open to the possibility of somebody loving Zion so much that they blow you away with an offer. And I don't know which team that is. I don't know what the offer specifically is. But, I mean, if the Celtics come to you and say, hey, I'll give you 3 first-round picks and Jason Tatum for Zion Williamson.
Like, that'd be a tough trade to turn down.
Right, and you might still turn it down. But you always have to, and it's a default answer for me, you always have to listen because there always could be that one dumb team that's going to give you too much or you can't pass up.
Now, that's a fair assessment, but you would probably say it's a long shot that they end up trading the number
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. I mean, again, yeah, 98%
right.
likely you take that
pick. But
I get
it. I see what you're saying. All right, so then you get to the other scenario, which is for the Pelicans, which is the obvious one. You pair Anthony Davis off, right?
Yeah.
And we know that the Boston Celtics have pursued Anthony Davis for over 2 years. So you know Danny Ainge, after what was a very disappointing year for the Boston Celtics, they're going to pursue him. You know LeBron James, the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, they're going to be pursuing Anthony Davis, and their chances just improved as they moved up in the lottery and moved up to the 4th overall pick. And you would have to imagine, if there were reports, even though they denied it, that the Knicks were willing to trade the number 1 overall pick in a package for Anthony Davis, that they would be willing to trade the 3rd overall pick, would you not? In a package for Anthony Davis.
And the 4th pick in particular, going back to the Lakers for a second, now it's very tradable from the Laker perspective because it's not in that top 3. On the flip side, because it's not in the top 3, how badly do you want it if you're New Orleans? Is that enough of a starting spot for a trade with the Lakers?
Yeah,
number
for
4?
Me it is not.
Right.
If I were New Orleans, I'd want, if I'm going to look, if I reached a point here and I'm David Griffin where I cannot repair the Anthony Davis, and it's all signs point to that's the case,
yeah.
But he's going to exhaust all options because he's a smart basketball guy and he realized how talented Anthony Davis is. But if you get to a point here, Bogish, where you say, all right, there's nothing we can do. He wants out. We can't play the season out. We have to get value back in return. If I'm him, and that's why I mentioned yesterday, if you're one of these teams that Anthony Davis would be willing to go to and sign a long-term contract extension with, because you're not going to trade for him unless you think you can sign him or will sign him, you can't be out of the top 3. For the Knicks, the value's still there. It's not as valuable as the 1 in any way, shape, or form. But I view this as a 3-player draft, you know, and then a drop-off. And you could say, I agree with you, there's a drop-off after Zion or a drop-off after Zion and Morant and then a drop-off to Barrett. But still, Barrett is still viewed as an elite-level NBA prospect. You couldn't fall out of the top 4. There is value to 3 out of the top 3. There's value to that 3rd overall pick. The Knicks are still in the conversation of using that 3rd overall pick to try and get Anthony Davis in a package.
Yeah, and it's so complicated from the Knicks' perspective because I want Kevin Durant more than I want Anthony Davis. But what does trading for Anthony Davis help me, hurt me? How does it impact Kevin Durant?
I would think it would help you, would it not?
I would think so, but I mean, unless Durant wants it to be him and Kyrie and nobody else, and then
financially they could afford. Could they not? Because you would have to match out the salaries in order to make the trade for Anthony Davis,
right?
So you're already adding what you're trading is, and they already have enough salary cap or enough relief here to add 2 max free agents. So conceivably,
he's your 2nd.
He would be your 2nd, or could you add still Irving and Durant?
I mean, that's a question that I could not answer. Maybe
no,
Mike
because if I'm matching up the salaries in a trade for Anthony Davis, right, and that 3rd overall pick, right, and the salary for RJ Barrett, because that's where it's got to be, right? I mean, you're going to be doing that. So unless you could take on more salary. I get you could. I mean, could you still have enough money then to add 2 max free agents? If you can't, I still think I'd rather have Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant than Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
I mean, I'd rather have Durant and any other marquee name than Durant and Kyrie. Like, I'm super down on Kyrie right now.
Right, but let me ask you this. Say if Durant wants to play with Kyrie.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the other issue we have.
Right.
Say if, and we know about the conversation they had at the All-Star game where everyone's trying to read their lips, and it's almost like everyone has paired those two up about coming to the Knicks for, where you had Stephen A. Smith say it's 95% done, that the only thing that would change was Kevin Durant changing his mind. But if Durant, say, wants to play with Kyrie Irving,
right,
then you can't pursue Anthony Davis.
No, and I mean, I even don't know whether Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis are buddies and if that matters at all. I mean, because these guys have these long, drawn-out, thought-out plans, and it's about, you know, being happy and having the best situation. Obviously, at face value, you'd want to play with Anthony Davis. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks, the third pick is absolutely tradable for Anthony Davis. It really is. I can do without R.J. Barrett, assuming, as I think it's a safe assumption, that Ja goes number two to the Grizzlies. I can live without R.J. Barrett to get me Anthony Davis.
And no doubt.
And then that ends up being kind of my safety blanket. Worst case scenario, if I go into opening day next year with Anthony Davis, I can live with that.
Well, you can live with that if Durant decides to stay in Golden State. Now, Bisegler's doing some quick math. He said, you know, he thinks, you know, loosely, you can fit all three. You can get all three done under the salary cap, right?
Yeah, you'd have to piece away some guys together to get that value because he still has a year under his contract. So you would equal the salary. I don't know then how it would work if you had three superstars and how exactly you're adding other pieces. But I think by the math, you technically could do it, but although I'm sure it might be very difficult.
But then what would happen when you had to re-sign Anthony Davis?
Then you would be able to go over the cap.
Right, because he's your property.
Next season, you could then, and then I'm sure the Knicks have no issues going well above the luxury
cap. Right, if you ever had a team of your big three was Anthony Davis, Durant, and Kyrie Irving, I mean, that would be.
Can you have three max deals on one team, though?
It's been done. We saw it with the Heat did it for a while with Wade, Bosch, and LeBron.
But they didn't take max deals.
I think they.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, this is loose math.
No, I got you. They all took a little bit less in order to make it work.
Because something in my head tells me that like whether it's an explicit rule or just general economics, that you can't have three max players at the same time. I don't know why that's in my head.
No, that's fair. I mean, you know, the Knicks, listen, there's no guarantees that Durant is coming. So the next guy up is Davis. And if the report yesterday, if there was some semblance of truth that they were willing to pair off Zion in a package to get, along with other pieces, to get Anthony Davis, then the Knicks should then pursue, obviously, Davis with the third overall draft choice. But there's going to be other teams on that list, and New Orleans is getting David Griffin. Can't be dopey here, and he also can't be arrogant here, and hold on to the commodity, hoping that maybe it will another year will change his mind.
Right,
he's got to make the right deal here, and he's going to hold everything to his chest. It's not going to be a leaky ship, and they've got the right guy in New Orleans to run it, and they should be very thankful that Dell Demps, that the ownership down there stopped Dell Demps from trading away Anthony Davis a year ago when everyone was saying, oh, you got to trade him, got to trade him, got to trade him. I heard that left and right from a number of people. They made the right decision not trading him. Now you got to make the right move, and you got to hold people's feet to the fire, whether it be the Lakers, whether it be the Celtics, or whether it be the Knicks, and try and maximize that value as best in return and get the best deal that you could possibly get.
Did he definitely? I mean, I guess we'll never really know because we don't know what was on the table. There's a chance he didn't make the right decision in not trading Anthony Davis during this past season.
I think you're going to get, to me, the Lakers package. Ball has been a disappointment.
Yes.
Ingram's got the nerve issue. That package of players never excited me. It really didn't, especially with the idea that I could get Tatum from Boston.
Yeah.
Which we said at the time, Tatum would be the best player in that deal.
It has to start with Tatum.
It has to. If you're the Celtics. Right. If you're in New Orleans, you call the Boston Celtics, you got to get Jason Tatum back. I mean, that's it. Just like if you call the Knicks, you throw in a 19-year-old, Kevin Knox. But you look at Mitchell Robinson as well. See, if you're the New Orleans Pelicans and you make that trade with the Knicks, for arguably. So then you have Barrett and you've got Barrett and you've got Williamson, right? So you've got your small forward, power forward in Williamson, and you've got your two guard in Barrett, 6'7", right? You've got your point guard in Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able then to extract, and you would, a Mitchell Robinson, who in a lost year showed you the freaky athletic ability that he has with the Knicks this past year, and he would be an absolute rim protector down there in New Orleans, and then you say throw in a Kevin Knox, who I know he's one of the worst players statistically this past year in the NBA. He was also 18 years old.
Right.
He was the youngest player in the NBA, too. He was a hell of a talent
that I think is only going to
get on a bad team that's only going to get better with time here. So you mean to tell me if I'm New Orleans and I'm able to trade, I'd rather have Barrett, Knox, and Robinson rather than anything the Lakers can offer. Now, the one thing is the Celtics can trump all because I'd rather have Tatum above everyone else.
Yes. No doubt. I mean, that to me is where this has to go for New Orleans. And once they know they can't get that, then they go elsewhere. But Tatum's got to be the guy. Tatum. And you know, the Celtics, I don't know what's going on there. And obviously, we don't know specifically what Kyrie Irving's future is, although it seems to likely be outside of Boston. And then that makes you want to keep Jason Tatum. But clearly, that was not a fun group this year.
Oh,
Terry
no.
Rozier angry yesterday, and I think, you know, Brad Stevens very honest, and I think we see Brad Stevens for the first time facing real NBA adversity. And the whole season, I don't know about you, but I was just assuming they would figure it out. Like, they'd get their you-know-what together,
and
they never did. And I thought that because of him. And he didn't know how to fix it. They didn't know how to fix it. Maybe it's not, maybe Kyrie or other guys. It's just, you know, chemistry is a real thing, and sometimes it just doesn't work. So maybe just simply starting fresh next year changes things. But, you know, they're in a weird spot because maybe they do need to change the dynamic of that team. But you don't want to change it too much with Kyrie leaving. Then you almost need Tatum, but you're trading him to get Anthony Davis, which is a whole, then you're, it's just, I don't want to, I kind of don't want to be Danny Ainge right now. He's got assets, he's got moves, but he could really send this thing in the wrong direction, too.
No, he could, you're right. But then you're going to have Davis, you'll have Gordon Hayward. You'll have Brown, you'll have Rozier.
Yeah.
You'll have the picks you have this year in the NBA draft. Maybe you pair one of them off for a future first round draft choice, do something of that nature.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that if you, number 14 would have to be in this trade too.
Yeah. I would agree with that. No, that's fair. I would agree with that. But Tatum would be the guy. Yeah. But if you're Danny Ainge, you went all in on this year and it didn't work. And what I think the lesson you did learn was, you've got a Celtic team that's got little to no leadership on it. And that's the other problem, too.
Right.
Irving's not a leader. Hayward's not a leader. The young guys were bothered by it. There was nobody that could bring that group together. And that's the first knock on Stevens as a head coach, because he's a great tactician. I loved it when they brought him in from Butler. He is certainly coming out of timeouts. He draws up great offensive plays. They seem to always get a basket. And that's kind of, you know, you look at what head coach's impact in the NBA, what they do coming out of a timeout, especially when you have the basketball. But what you saw from Stevens here, the inability to bring a group together, it's a knock on him. It's a learning experience. He took blame and said it was his fault and said he did a terrible job this year, but he's got to get better as a coach as well.
He didn't say, I'm good. I'm just going to hopefully get home safely and move on from here.
Right. Well, and that's what bothers you. You're right about Irving in terms of being down on Kyrie Irving, because you saw Joel Embiid weeping after the 70s, and now that was a Game 7 buzzer beater on the road.
In his face.
I mean, that is as bad as it gets. However, when Irving is down, you know, when Kyrie Irving loses and they get embarrassed in a 5-game series against the Milwaukee Bucks, he's like, it's not disappointing. It's part of life's journey.
Right.
That's the last thing you want to hear from an NBA player.
Well, you can talk about, like, you can put it in perspective after you tell me how heartbroken you are right now. Like, you can say, we'll get past this. It's going to be part of the process, but you can't start, the first thing in your mouth can't be, no, I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, right.
No, you need to be disappointed. Say, give me your disappointed, then do your philosophical breakdown of there are bigger things and bigger issues and we'll figure this out and we'll learn from this. But it's got to start with, man, this sucks right now.
I agree with you.
And that's not what he said.
No, it's not.
And it's crazy. He's so good.
Something's amiss there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. He's
a really talented guy. Maybe he overthinks things, but something's amiss there. It just doesn't work. Forced his way out of Cleveland, was dying for Boston. It hasn't gone well for 2 years in Boston. The Celtics were a better team with him not being on the court.
Well, our Adam Kaufman, who's our good buddy, sometimes on the network too here, tweeted this the other day. Like, maybe the worst thing actually was how far they went last season. Because it might
have 11 playoff games.
It might have made you think that they were better than they actually are. And maybe this year, while you feel, and it was certainly a letdown, but maybe it was less of a letdown than it really should have been because they weren't as good as they were the year before.
But what it also, I think it shows you, Andrew, and you could disagree, it shows you about chemistry.
Yes.
That team a year ago cared about one another, played for one another. This team could care less about one another.
And that is, to you know, in this age of analytics and deeper numbers and figuring out how things work, there still is not a formula for what you just talked about and how, like, what a coach or a manager does. But to me, like, the number one thing just is keeping everybody in the right place to go out there and be their best. You can diagram plays and you can criticize the Blazers' defense last night or when to call a timeout, not to call a timeout, you know, let your guys play. Here's the set. This is what we're going to run. Like, those are little things and they absolutely matter. But to me, like, the way a team starts a game, comes out of halftime, but the motivational stuff nowadays, that's where the coaches really make their money. Because I know your first thought is, well, these guys, they shouldn't use motivation. They need to be motivated. They're not robots. No matter what they're making and earning and whatever, like, they sometimes they need a kick in the butt and to know how to push the right buttons so they can go out there and be Kyrie Irving, be Al Horford, be Jason Tatum. Like, that's where Brad Stevens gets paid. That's what he gets paid for. And this year, you know, he couldn't find the right combination of tools to get them going in the right direction.
Yeah, don't disagree. So it's interesting. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What would you do if you're New Orleans right now? Anthony Davis, even with Zion coming, you might not want to be there, but Zion is coming nonetheless. Anthony Davis says, I'm good. I want out. He still wants out in New Orleans. Where do you think he ends up? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Oh, yeah, by the way, we had an NBA playoff game last night. Game one of the Western Conference Finals. Steph and the boys, without KD, said, we good. We're all right. We're not bad. We'll get into game one last night. A rout by the Warriors over the Blazers. We'll do that next. Taz Moos, Bogus sitting in here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Want to talk about the NBA playoffs? Then keep our CBS Sports Radio toll-free number handy. 855-212-4CBS. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, here's what bothers me, right? So I got to walk out to the newsroom now, the Knicks fan that I am. And Bogus, you're not a Knicks fan, right? You said you got no dog in the fight, right?
No, if I'm anything, I'm a Nets fan.
All right, so if anything, you're a Nets fan. But you're not one of these arrogant Nets fans. I mean, it's amazing that the Nets fan has arrogance. But, I mean, I got to walk out into the newsroom as Biseglia, Billy, and Evan Roberts are basically congratulating one another that the Knicks didn't end up with the number one overall pick and they end up with the third overall selection. I mean, you guys got to get a lot. I mean, there does come a point in time the envy has got to stop it, you know, it's got to stop. I can't take it anymore. First off, the Knicks have done nothing to you. It's not like you're in the same city of a team that's just consistently winning championships or doing anything. They've been a laughing stock in the NBA. I know the Knicks fan bothers you and hashtag Knicks tape and all that, but I mean, the celebratory mood from the Net fan this morning at CBS Sports Radio that the Knicks did not end up with the number one overall pick is troubling. I mean, it really is bothersome. From the pre-tweet from Roberts last night that the Knicks are going to end up with the number one overall pick, to Biseglia gloating on social media and Billy as well afterward, basically running through the Knicks timeline of fans complaining that they didn't get the number one overall pick, to probably mocking out the Knicks fan that got a tattoo with Zion's name and the Knicks logo before the draft lottery. I mean, which is moronic, which that person deserves to get mocked. You know, I can't take it. I mean, enough's enough. The Knicks have done nothing to your Brooklyn Nets team. You're actually, honestly, you're a well-run franchise. The Knicks need all the help they can get.
It's a weird dynamic because there's a lot of multiple teams in New York, like Mets and Yankees, Giants and Jets, and there's always the number one team. Like, the Giants are definitely the clear number one. The Yankees are the number one. But the number two in town is still, like, a clear number two. The Nets in New York are pretty much irrelevant, and that's being polite. So from a Net fan standpoint, there is definitely a jealousness and bitterness and anger regardless because of how much spotlight they get, even though they are not well-run, not a good team. And I'll admit, like, it's irrational and not smart, but I hate that organization. I hate the Knicks so much. I take pleasure in seeing them suffer.
I don't understand. It's almost like you just won a playoff series.
It felt like a winning game. I definitely cheered.
It was insane. I'm sure you were. When the card got revealed with the Knicks, the third overall pick, you're like, yes, Patrick still can't deliver.
Yeah, the finger roll off the rim.
Off the rim.
Where's Reggie Miller
scoring? Exactly.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. But what made it even more special was that the Pelicans jumped up to number one.
Yeah.
Because here's the team that now has Zion that was the trade chip, and they're the ones that get him. Was fantastic.
Right. And then I'm getting into a debate with Evan about, you know, trying to get Anthony Davis. He's like, would you really give up all these players for Anthony Davis? Yeah, probably I would. You know, honestly, yes, I would. You can't tell me the Laker package is better than the Knicks package. I wouldn't touch those Laker players. Lonzo Ball, you're telling me, you know, Ingram, who's never lived up to the billing of the player you're supposed to. Tell me the players I'm supposed to be enamored with. Kuzma?
Yeah,
Josh Hart?
I would take Kuzma. I'd be happy to take Kuzma, but that's not nearly enough for me giving you Anthony Davis.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. That's the issue you have here. Yes, I would. Anthony Davis is a top five player in the league.
Right.
That's what he is. This is going to be a disaster. You know, and then I got to look across the way and see Bisegli. Like, come July 1st, you know, Durant's going to be like, I'm going to stay in Golden State. Irving's like, you know what? My dream is to play in Brooklyn with the Nets.
Now, I selfishly not as much
are gonna
as
give max deals to Kemba Walker and Tobias Harris.
Okay, that's fine with Mike. Listen, Tobias Harris in Brooklyn would be Mike's.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
Mike's dream.
I know that is. He's
our guy.
I know he's can't wait to buy his jersey. But yes, enjoy your night. I'm glad you had a good night, you and Leon. Did you have a celebratory beer afterward?
We did. Yeah, Leon and I toasted.
How's the gap?
So
this
now
morning?
My cat can now drink. Yeah, why not? Yeah, we were. I was fired up. I never tweet. Like I never get into it.
I know.
I was fired up.
I could tell.
That. I was so relieved.
I
there was
know
a few
you.
Tweets I sent out that were then deleted. Because I was like, bad idea. Let's not do that. Tomorrow you're going to think better of it. And I got rid of them ASAP.
Mikey be drunk tweeting the draft lottery.
Right.
If it was like, drunk tweeting, who knows? It would have been to another level. This was sober tweeting. And it was like I was drunk. Yeah, yeah, I had to delete. There were some to other hosts on this network. Delete.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, anyone checked on BT, by the way? I mean, what a downturn for him, huh?
He was very positive on Twitter.
The high of Saturday's harness racing win.
Oh, stop, dude.
And then the loss of this draft lottery.
It's Brendan Tierney with the lead.
All in like 72 hours. I hope he's okay.
I know.
Chris Mullin out at St. John's. It's been a roller coaster. Well,
hey, what's happening? It's Brendan Tierney.
Right. And then the Johnny's going, the apple of our eye is Mike Anderson.
We did it.
He's got no connection to recruiting in New York City. He's coached down south his entire career, but we're going to bring him to the Northeast.
The only salvation for BT is he's not a Giant fan.
Right.
So he's not sweating Daniel Jones.
Yes, that's it. That's it. We're in the paddock after our initial race, after the first heat of the Broadcasters Derby on Saturday night. And BT, they were, you know, talked to him about winning. And he's like, but the most important thing, you look across the way, pointing at MetLife Stadium. We've got ourselves a quarterback. Let's go Jets.
Are you serious?
Yes.
He made a Jet reference?
He made a Jet reference.
Tierney.
Well, I mean, at least he's consistent.
That didn't draw the response from the crowd that I think he was looking for. Go ahead, Andrew. Update us.
Oh,
brother.
Yeah. Let me do that. It's we without my music, but don't play it, Pete. Here's your report sponsored by the NFL. The NFL invites fans to participate in Huddle for 100. Choose a cause, donate 100 minutes of your time, and help shape what your community will look like for the next 100 years. Visit NFL.com/huddleforone hundred to learn more.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so wide.
So, as we've been discussing, the heartbreak is real for Moose and the rest of Knicks Nation this morning. No Zion Williamson in the Big Apple with the Pelicans stunning a Chicago ballroom by winning the draft lottery last night. The Knicks settled for number 3. The Cavs and Suns, bigger losers. They and the Knicks shared the best odds at that top pick, but they end up 5th and 6th, respectively. As for the Pels, head coach Alvin Gentry telling NBA TV, they're pointed in the right direction now.
I still think we're going to have an organization that we're going to be sustainably good, I think. And I think this obviously is a big step in that direction.
Now, that being said, as we've been discussing, Anthony Davis still reportedly wants to be traded out of New Orleans. Now to game one of the Western Conference Final in Oakland.
Downstairs to Draymond, back to Curry, an open three. It's up and good.
His ninth of the night on 15 attempts.
His 34th career, 30-point game of the playoffs.
Tim Roy, Jim Barnett, Warriors radio, 9 threes, 36 points for Curry. His Dubs won the fourth quarter 39-23 to drop the Blazers 116-94. Portland shot just 7 for 28 from 3 and committed 21 turnovers. Game 2 is tomorrow in Oakland. Kevin Durant likely to miss his third in a row thanks to that calf strain. The Bucks and Raptors begin the East finale in Milwaukee at 7:30 Central tonight. The Boston Bruins in position to sweep the Hurricanes, taking Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final in Carolina 2-1. Tuukka Rask, 35 saves, 20 of them came in the opening period. The Blues and Sharks break their 1-1 tie in St. Louis at 8 Eastern. Away from the playoffs, the Sabres have reportedly hired Ralph Kruger as their new head coach. He last held that job in the NHL in Edmonton in 2013.
Great Ralph Kruger.
59-year-old Kruger has been doing what for the last 5 years, Moose?
Coaching hockey someplace.
Incorrect. He has been serving as the chairman of Soccer Club Southampton in the EPL. And now he's coming back across the Atlantic to coach the Buffalo
Sabres.
Wait, he was
in the English Premier League, now he's coming back to coach Buffalo Sabres hockey?
He coached the Oilers in the lockout year 12-13. He got fired via Skype and then apparently went to England and has been running Southampton for the last 5 years. And the Sabres think he's the guy to end what is now, I think, the longest playoff drought in the NHL.
And you thought Frank Vogel was an uninspiring hire. What about if you're a Sabre fan Wednesday morning?
I think Ralph was their first choice, not number 9.
No, I understand that. But if you're a Sabre fan, you're like, you're open, you have your cup of coffee, you're like, wait, he's running a soccer club in the English Premier League for the last 5 years. Now he's coming back to coach Jack Eichel and the Sabres? What is this?
Oh, boy. Baseball last night, the Houston Astros, an 11-4 win in Detroit. They scored in each of their first 6 at-bats. That is a 7-game winning streak for them. In the National League, as I change papers, the Dodgers beat the Padres 6-3. Pittsburgh, a 6-2 win in Arizona. That ends a 9-game losing streak head-to-head for the Pirates. And St. Louis hit 4 homers, 3 of them 3-run bombs, to drop the Braves 14-3. Now back to you.
We'll get into Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals last night that went the Warriors' way. And we'll touch upon and preview and look ahead to Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Should be a good one. Raptors and Bucks out in Milwaukee. We'll do that next. It's Taz and the Moose. Bogish filling in. Taz is out, banged up, hurt, a little under the weather this morning. So we wish him the best, and hopefully he's back with us tomorrow. But Andrew's doing a fine job filling in. It's him and I next right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. It's golf's next major, the world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy, and Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors and his 16th overall. The PGA Championship this weekend only on CBS. And the PGA Championship gets going tomorrow morning out at Bethpage State Park in beautiful Long Island. And finally, walking past a window here. And I know we come from New York City. We're on here broadcasting in the Northeast. It's been rain, rain, rain. I saw the sun walking past a window before. I was like, what is that circular object in the sky? I haven't seen the sun in days.
So you've broken even. Cockroach first, sun second.
That's
good.
Exactly right. Yes.
One bad, one good.
That's no doubt about it. I'll take the sun. There's no question. Last night, Andrew, game one NBA Finals, Western Conference Finals, I mean, between the Blazers and the Warriors. Never got a sense watching that game last night. I wonder if I thought the Blazers were going to win that basketball game. Even when it was tight early, I don't know. I always had the vibe. I didn't know if, you know, the Warriors were going to win that game by 20-plus points, but I just never thought Portland was going to find their way of winning that game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's always the possibility, right, of McCollum or Lillard getting really hot and kind of stealing one. There's only, a six-point game going into the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, it was theoretically there, and that was kind of their point afterwards. It was like, oh, you know, we played like crap and got the fourth quarter in position to win the game. We didn't, and kind of fell apart even more in that fourth quarter. So I get why they're grasping at that silver lining. But, yeah, I mean, the Warriors looked old-school Warriors last night. And I can't believe, and this may connect back to our Brad Stevens kind of coaching effect, but Steve Kerr, again, going 10-11 deep and getting contributions from guys who maybe some of you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
And they're playing big minutes and giving them big production in a huge playoff game.
Right. And, you know, we're seeing the stat on TV right now. If Curry and Thompson, without Durant on the full floor, are going to outscore Lillard and McCollum by 26 points in a given game, you know, Blazers can't win. I mean, there's just not enough offense for Portland. It just can't happen. Stotts has got to improve his team defensively about what they're doing. And I'll tell you the other thing, Andrew, I'm not going to be moronic and tell you that they're a better team without Kevin Durant, because that's just a dopey statement. Because we know how good Kevin Durant is, and right now he's the best player in the world. You know, I think he surpassed LeBron a little bit. But there is a distinctive difference in the Warriors' energy level without Durant on their team as compared to with him. I think they look like they're supremely motivated to show everybody that they can win without Kevin Durant.
They're different. I think that's the fair word to use here. Because you said they're not better. They can't be better without a player of Kevin Durant's caliber. But they do seem to have more fun. I don't know, even going a step farther than that, I don't know if they're pseudo-happy Durant is not there, if Durant weighs on them, or they just like going back to the way it used to be where I'm one, you're two, as opposed to now being I'm two, you're three, speaking of Curry and Klay Thompson. Like, I don't know that this is in any way an indictment of Durant. It just might be an opening for them to have a little more room to show off.
Yeah, and they were back to Draymond felt like Draymond again.
He's been good the whole time, though.
No,
he's had a good postseason.
No, he's had a good postseason. I'm talking about the energy level on the court. I'm talking about him playing on the edge that he often plays with. And he had the Splash Brothers back in existence last night once again. And they've disappeared here for a couple of years with the addition of Kevin Durant. I know they've been there, but you know what I'm saying. Defining what Warriors basketball is, the offense flows a lot better. It's not as much of watching, pass the ball to Durant and watch him work his magic to get his shot off. They share the basketball a little bit better. They're not a better team. You're right. It's just that they have a different look, and it's a tangible energy that's just different. Watching that game last night, I was like, wow. I mean, this Warrior team went from being a team that people love to hate to where you actually enjoyed watching them play once again.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. That was the team that you enjoyed watching them play that level. They were no longer the villain. All of a sudden, they put the white hat back on, and they were this team that was easy to root for.
I didn't hate them. I have not reached my breaking point with them yet. We probably could get there, because at some point they do end up, like everybody else, disliking you because you're good for too long. I'm not there yet with them, but I needed to see off-balance, quick-triggered threes from Curry. Like, I needed it, and you got it last night. He was fantastic, and this is now, six straight really good high-end Steph Curry quarters now in a row.
Yeah, it is. And you look at it, last night, went for over 30 in the second half in the closeout game of the Houston Rockets on Friday night, what Andrew is referencing, where he dropped in 33 in the span of 24 game minutes as they eliminated the Houston Rockets. And I don't think – they'll never admit it. And I'm not telling you that they hate Kevin Durant. It has nothing to do with that, right? But we know that the relationship out there has been frayed individually. I'm not telling you with every single player on that team. But I don't think there's any doubt that they would love love the idea of Durant not returning and them winning another NBA championship with him on the sideline and then having him walk in free agency.
I think they would
love that. You mean to tell me Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson wouldn't like that?
Well, I think we know Draymond and KD's issues head-to-head.
Draymond would love that.
Right, so Draymond might love it. I don't know that they love it as a team, and I do think that they realize, as confident as they might be in themselves, they want to win the whole thing again, and I think they know that, obviously, him being healthy gives them their best chance.
I'm not saying, yeah, you're right. I'm not telling you it would be a more difficult road without him. But think about the accomplishment for them and them as an organization almost coming full circle to where it would be the ultimate screw you to Durant and everyone saying that, you know, they win it. And think about that if you're Durant, how big of a knock. You go out due to injury. You won with them. They won before you got there. Then you stepped in and you won with them. Then you get hurt and they win without you?
Yeah, see, I would go with
you. Think about that.
That's where I'll go with you. I would think that he's more worried about them winning without him than their desire to win without him.
All right.
Because I don't know how bad it is as a group. Now, again, going back to the Celtics, I'd probably believe you more that the Celtics would love to win without Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
And by the way, they did during the regular season.
They did. They were better without Kyrie Irving.
I don't know that the Warriors have that level of issue with Durant across the board.
Off Draymond Green.
Yeah. But I mean, he may be the ringleader as opposed to being the outlier. But I think that they're smart enough in general that the need to have him might outweigh whatever issues exist between the group. And I would go further than that. They're probably looking forward to next year, him being somewhere else. But I think right now, in the moment, they want to make sure they win, and they'd want him around
Durant's
for that.
Durant's like, get me back on that court, Doc.
Yeah, just cut it off.
Yeah, right. Do anything I can do to get back on that court. Just let me be a part of this run. If they win another championship without me being here and I'm on the sideline, like that would be a difficult pill to swallow if you're Durant.
Yeah, and the Blazers better have a better plan. I'll give they can't use
Stotts was lost last night.
Yeah, I'll give them the excuse. They can't use it. But coming off of a game 7 in Denver, they went right to Oakland. They come back on the court 48 hours later. It's a quick turnaround. I thought they might lay an egg last night, and they did. But they've got to have a better plan for game 2 because giving Curry and Thompson room to shoot.
Oh, it's stupid.
I mean, the first game plan I'll devise, the next one for an NBA game, will be the first one I ever do. So, I mean, who am I to talk about this? But, I mean, it just seems obvious. So what you have to do is run at them and knock them off the three-point line, give them no room. There was room all over the place last night.
You know where I think Stotts and Portland outthought themselves was this, is they looked at the way Houston defended them on Friday night and saw Curry have 0 points in the first half. That game tied at half, where Houston was running at everything that they were trying to do and taking away all the space, but you had all those fourth, fifth, and sixth guys with easy, makeable baskets, and Houston's defense. So if you're Stotts, you're saying, "Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to let the Andre Iguodala's beat me?"
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I think he looked at that game film on Friday night and he kind of overcompensated. But I agree with you. Stotts had a bad night. That was a bad defensive performance by Portland.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
It seems simple, like, do that again, Kevon Looney.
Yes.
Like, just score 10 more points. Like, do it again, Andre Iguodala. Do it again, Josh Bell and Jonas Jerebko. Like, this one's on you. Curry's not beating me, and Curry beat him.
See, oftentimes I get in when teams go on these runs, Andrew, like I look at Toronto and Milwaukee, and I don't look at either one of those teams as being done. Right, you could have a fight. You could have an argument in terms of I like Toronto for this reason, I like from Milwaukee for this reason. But I can envision either team making it to the NBA Finals. See, I look at Portland. They've had a great year. They went to the Western Conference Finals. Like, I think they're done.
Like, this is great. Anything else is gravy
Correct.
Now for them.
Like, I'm not saying that they feel like that. I'm not saying they're thinking that when they step on the court. But I just don't look at them as an NBA Finals caliber team. I think they've had an unbelievable run to get here. I think the other three teams that are still left, I think they have dreams of winning NBA championship. I can't envision Portland winning an NBA title. I just don't think they're good enough.
No, but I can envision them winning this series.
Like,
I don't think it's impossible. This is not, now, to jump into hockey for a second, they're not the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are now in over their head.
Yeah.
I don't think the Blazers are in over their head. They're just not the better team when it comes to them versus Golden State. But, and I don't think they're physically done. They just got a long road to go now in this series. And it'd be a major upset if they do get through it.
We got an action-packed final hour of the program. Jeff Goodman will join us from Stadium. Also, the three comes your way next. Taz Moose, Bogus filling in. CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.